Triple M's Rush Hour with Bernie, Bluey and Jars. Weekdays from 6.
Click Keno from only $1 a game. Gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858.
What time is it?
Get ready for Triple M's Rush Hour. Andrew Jarman.
Beautiful to Jarman. Bang! Another nail.
Bernie Vince.
There it is. A magnificent performance from young Greg Blewett.
Adelaide's Ultimate Sports Show. On every afternoon, Triple M's Rush Hour with Bernie, Bluey and Jars.
G'day everybody. Welcome to your Wednesday edition of the Rush Hour. Absolute chaos around the country regarding the AFL football round 11 fixture.
Did you say Wednesday?
Yeah, you did, but that's okay.
It's Thursday. Well, I'm rattled. I'm rattled with all this round 11 fixture. It's gone berserk. And a little while ago, boys, AFL boss Gil McLachlan addressed the round 11 fixture and what that means for the Adelaide Crows and Port Adelaide. And here he is.
The time slot, Saturday, May 29 at 7:40 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, will remain. This match has been moved due to quarantine requirements imposed by the NT government. Richmond v the Adelaide Crows. We moved from the MCG on Sunday, May 30 to Giant Stadium, now commencing at 2:10 Eastern Standard Time on Sunday. This match has been moved due to South Australian border requirements that wouldn't have allowed the Adelaide Crows to return to South Australia from Victoria without a 14-day quarantine. Mm. The Port Adelaide v Fremantle match on Sunday, May 30 at Adelaide Oval will now begin at 5:20 Eastern Standard Time, previously 4:40 Eastern Standard Time, to enable umpires to attend the match having umpired in Perth the night before. All other matches will remain as scheduled. The changes are in place for this round only, and we will continue to monitor the situation over the coming days before making any decisions on future rounds. Even though it is not rolling out as we planned, this weekend's Sir Doug Nicholls round is an important recognition, and we look forward to celebrating the brilliance of all Indigenous players past and present over the next two weekends. It's disappointing for fans in Victoria to not be able to attend the footy this weekend. But the events of the last 24, 48 hours reiterate the reasons why we have put in place the contact tracing requirements at matches, all to best keep fans and the community as safe as possible as we continue to navigate through the pandemic. Our thoughts with all Victorians in what we know is a difficult period for many in the community. I'd like to thank our clubs, our players, the AFLPA, our umpires and all our staff for the way they've cooperated and, I dare say it, been flexible and agile during such an uncertain period. Happy to take any questions.
Sorry, the last 48 hours, did you think of maybe pausing footy for a week and then restarting?
Difficult couple of days, Steve. I mean, things, frankly, weren't settled until probably the last hour and a half. We were working through it late last night on the contingencies and possibilities, but we didn't know till this morning about how it was going to play. And then obviously you don't quite know how the other states are going to react. So, it's we feel like we're back in it. But no plans on not playing or not finding a way through. And I think, you know, you saw that last year. We've got a team who know what they're doing. We've got great partnerships with state governments, health officials, and we will continue to navigate through this. There may be, you know, lumps and bumps where we can't go forward or we have to track sideways, but we have nine games going ahead in the configuration, you know, in the matchups that we're planning on doing.
Wow, boys, there you go. The boss of the AFL. So the Adelaide Crows and Richmond goes from the MCG to Giant Stadium on the Sunday.
Yep,
which
as we thought.
Been flagged. Port Adelaide and Frio. Adelaide Oval, crowds, but a later start.
Yep.
Which is not too bad. And obviously the Suns and Hawthorn game, Giant Stadium on this Saturday night, shifting from Northern Territory because of their government. So now I didn't get the Friday night one.
No, that's going to happen as normal, just with no crowds. You said all other games will happen
depending the result of that one player, though.
Yeah, that one player and the Melbourne Footy Club. So they all have to be cleared before they play. But he just said there's no plan in either holding the season up or stopping the season. So they're going to continue through. Whether that includes, he didn't say anything about hubs, Jars. So
no, he didn't.
if these numbers keep going like this, exactly the same as last year,
yeah, Bern.
And when they stopped the season for 10 weeks, hoping that it was going to get better, I think this time, rather than stop it for 10 weeks, they'll get the players out the latest as possible. As soon as Sydney look like shutting their borders, this is what happened last time, as soon as they started to think about shutting it to Melbourne, all the players got out to Sydney that night. They got out that night, and some went to Queensland as well.
Yeah.
But Queensland's shut to Melbourne now already. So their only other option to get this season done, if it's going to happen in hubs with all these numbers going up, is to go to Sydney or get out to Adelaide or Perth while they... Well, I think they can't get to Adelaide, can
what
they?
What about Sydney's Tasmania? No, not Adelaide yet.
What's happened to Tasmania? Why aren't they scheduling some games down there?
They've been pretty strict down in Tasmania.
Sydney's the only one that I believe is open right now. But things change very quickly.
Absolutely.
Do they get them out, Jazz? Is there any point in hanging around?
No.
What's the point in playing this weekend if over the weekend Sydney shut their borders and they can't play? I reckon get them out. Get them out.
Out of Victoria.
Otherwise, there's going to be a big stop again.
Nah, you're right. So there he is, AFL boss Gil McLachlan, updating the round 11 fixture, family. Well, let's talk to the Adelaide Crows senior coach. It's 4-6 so far, one game out of the top eight. The boys are tracking nicely. He joins us on a very busy Thursday. G'day, Nixie.
How are you guys?
Matty Nix joins us now. Matty, what does this mean for the Adelaide Crows regarding the Melbourne COVID outbreak?
Well, a fair bit, but not a lot, really. We prepared today as usual, so we had a main session today. At this point, our expectation is we fly to Sydney on Saturday.
Right.
Play in Sydney against Richmond at, I think, around 2:10 at Giant Stadium, and then head home Sunday. But again, we've still got a lot of detail to come through on that, and we're flexible, and we understand the challenges that the AFL have got in front of them at the moment. So we're just ready to play wherever and whenever. As long as we get Richmond this week, that's all we're after.
How do you feel playing teams from Melbourne? Because the next 3 weeks, you got Richmond, Collingwood, and then St Kilda. Have they given you a timeline on an update of what happens even just next weekend?
Well, that's the challenge, Bernie's. Teams that have travelled. Are we able to get Collingwood, for example, into SA next weekend? Now, at this point, we don't have an answer for that. That'll be the challenge the AFL are working through at the moment. But our focus at this point is on travelling, getting over to Sydney when that's locked in, and then performing against Richmond. We had a massive challenge coming up, Richmond at the MCG. That hasn't changed. We've now got Richmond at, more than likely, Richmond at Giant Stadium. So we'll do whatever we can to get the job done.
And so with this, do you think, in your personal opinion, do you feel like the Melbourne teams, I believe this, that they should get out now? Because it does affect next week, Collingwood. You want to play Collingwood on your home deck. You don't want to have to play them somewhere else. And if they can't get out, you won't be able to play them. Doesn't that just make sense, similar to last year?
Yeah, it's a hard one, Bern. It's a hard one to sort of lock in. And, it's not... It'll start to become a question of what's best for everyone, what's best for society.
Yep.
The last thing we want to do is do the wrong thing and have this spread further. We want to make sure people's health and safety is first and foremost. That's what we're looking at. I know a number of clubs from Melbourne have got out as soon as they could over the last 48 hours. They got them into different states, anticipating maybe that things would get worse. It's a tough one. I understand the AFL are doing everything they possibly can in this space, and we will be flexible and we'll be ready to play wherever. We'll also understand that if we don't get to that point, we're going to have to go through whatever the challenges are and do the right thing by the public and by governments that are looking after each state.
Yeah, exactly. It is what it is, Nixie. But it would have been great. I mean, still playing Richmond on Sunday, but geez, it would have been nice for your young group to be playing at the MCG.
Yeah, that's the tough one that we deal with, because you only get one or two games there a year, other than playing finals footy. So, but you said it, Blue. It is what it is. We're lucky we're even playing, and that they've been able to organise us to get the game in Sydney at this point. We'd love to play on the MCG, especially against Richmond. There's no bigger challenge. We come off one last week against Melbourne, undefeated side. Our guys were really looking forward to this hit out, and they still are, because we get to play them in Sydney.
Hey, I'm telling you, I'm taking Richmond at the Giants Stadium rather than the MCG. I reckon that puts you right in the mix for another
and
upset
this week.
And
no Tom Lynch too. He's out.
No Tom Lynch. Hey, what was, how was the review this week? Because obviously it would have been pretty positive. The games you've, I guess I go back to that Geelong game when you started really well and they slowly clawed their way back. You managed to hold on. But Melbourne actually got off to a pretty good start. And your young group were able to just regroup, I suppose, and really take it to Melbourne and get right back in the game, come from behind, which is something probably a little bit different.
It was, well, when you talk about a young group developing, as a coaching group, we couldn't be more pleased with the way it played out. And you talked through it. It was, we were challenged. Melbourne played great footy. All their weapons stood up. It was midfield. They had weapons behind the ball. They had them ahead of the ball. So for our guys to come from, I think it got to about 3 goals with around 6 minutes to go, and we changed some of our structure. The way our players worked through that, really proud of what they were able to do and get a result. That was the key. So then the belief goes to another level. At the moment, the guys are in a really good space. They're enjoying their footy. They're embracing the contest. So we come up against now another challenge, and I hope they, again, come out with a great result and get more belief.
And normally when you upset a team that's going as well as what Melbourne was, an undefeated team, you have to rely on them playing pretty poorly and you guys playing out of your skin. But I felt like, you touched on it a little bit, Melbourne played a very, very good brand of footy. And as you said, their stars stood up. There was no real weak links across the Melbourne Footy Club. It's just that Adelaide were better. And I think that's a massive positive for your young group.
Well, you would have seen in the end, in the Coaches Association votes, Oliver got the 10.
Yep.
We felt that he was the best on ground. I think everyone who watched the game did. We have Petraka as well, stood up. Gorn, in the end, had the better of Rob, and Rob continues to work through those challenges. Yeah. This is, he's been in a pretty tough fortnight with Nick Nat into Gorn, and Lever, we'll go again this week, Nankervis. Yeah, Lever behind the ball was intercepting the footy. So, spot on. We're really pleased to get a result, really pleased in the end, and it takes us, we're not looking win-loss as a total. What we're looking at is week by week. We learned so much from last week and took so much belief out of it.
Chatting with Crows coach Matty Nix. When will Tex be re-signed for the Adelaide Footy Club?
Are you going to ask
pressure. Yeah, I am. Put pressure on Mark Ricciuto, one of the board members who should be standing down into the year.
Oh.
What's your take on that, Nixie?
The Roo comment or the Tex sign?
Both, my friend.
Mainly Roo, I think.
No.
We're in conversations with Tex. We're in conversations with a number of the older guys at the footy club.
Yeah.
Well, I think hopefully you're seeing that we've got a really good environment at the moment.
Absolutely.
Tex is he's very much a part of that. He's inspired a lot of these young guys to train harder. He's teaching them what it takes to be, an AFL footer or a great AFL footballer. It. So he's helping us no end. We'll continue those conversations and we'll work through it, but hopefully we can keep him playing good footy.
What you are doing, and they're just timing it, Jazz.
Yeah, they
signed
up
Tommy Duday this
week for
another 2 years.
The 11th player to
re-sign. So what they're doing, they're signing all these other guys that are going to want the big contracts, and then Tex basically just gets what's left. Isn't that right, Nixie?
Gets Nixie's leftovers.
Isn't that right, Nixie? That's how it works.
Yes, fair. Yeah, he'll enjoy hearing that.
Now, Bluey, you got anything to say to Nixie? You apologise. You're still trying to take him off around the streets of Adelaide, Nixie.
It's
embarrassing.
Quiet. Listen,
Nixie knows what happened. I was asked to impersonate.
Don't. No, you weren't.
And that's
you
all demanded I did. It. So I just did my best.
No, you demanded it.
Sorry, Nixie.
It's okay.
Crumbs.
It's okay. I'm a massive Bluey fan. I mentioned it a number of times. I love my cricket, and I really do. He's outstanding.
Yes, Nixie.
Forget Charles.
Keep it coming, Nixie. That is not the answer we wanted from that question. Don't ask that again, Just.
Hey, mate, thanks for your time. Good luck against the Richmond Football Club. 2:10 on Sunday against the Richmond Foot at the Giants Stadium. So all the best, buddy.
Hang on, say that again.
No, it up. Good on you, Nixie. Take care, mate.
He dropped the F-bomb.
From the Adelaide Crows.
Did you drop the F-bomb then?
No, I didn't. On Richmond, Giant Stadium, 2:10 on Sunday. Port Adelaide now will play at 20 past 5 on Sunday, Frio, Adelaide Oval. We are a massive chance. a big chance.
I understood that full sentence.
Yeah, and can I just say a bit of mutual love too? Because to be fair, Nixie is doing a bloody good job with that squad, isn't he?
Listen to this, Geelong and Melbourne at the start of the year.
Yes. If you had have said that,
yes,
no way. So he's doing a brilliant job with the list that he's got.
Cost me in multis both.
Re-signing for another 5 years, Nixie.
Shut up! I'm on the phone.
Yeah, pottery booking for two, please, under the name Blewett. And Nix.
Can I definitely be in front, Bluey? You're in front, Bluey. Oiled up.
He wouldn't be able to hold your skinny legs anyway.
He'd be ragdolling you from behind.
Hey, give me one of those famous giant beers.
It's that time again on the Rush Hour to have a beer with Bluey.
I love to have a beer with Bluey.
Clean bill of health, Dyson, get $100 off your first order.
Yeah. Today, Junior.
That will never get old.
You know that sounded like Jars yesterday for the promo.
We need to listen to that when we've had a few frothies at my house for a barbie.
Yeah.
We'd laugh her head off.
Just minus us your house and the barbie.
Yeah, what's the latest?
Well, I'm waiting on Burn.
He's been ready to rumble. Josh is gone.
He's fallen over.
What are you going? What's wrong?
Speaking of already having a few.
One of the best lines I've heard this year from... Three points, B Vince.
Yeah. It's coming, but anyway.
Clip, clip, clip.
Now, good story?
Well, look, I'm a little bit nervous about
it. I am, because it's filling me with confidence.
It's fairly confronting. So if, you know, if it's around dinner time, or, you know, if you're looking to eat, maybe just turn the volume down a fraction. But it was my era. So this story is 100% true, Burn.
Others weren't.
No, it's 100 because you won't believe what happened.
Oh.
It's unbelievable. So there was a Shield game.
I'm all ears.
There was a Shield game in Sydney, right?
Yes.
This is my era. So it was somewhere in the 90s.
Late 90s?
I think early 90s.
Okay.
And there's part of the SCG, there was a car park. So all the players parked their cars in a similar spot. So one of the players noticed that there was a new Mercedes in the car park. All right, so he comes into the dressing room and he says, who's got that new car out there? Because that is an absolute ripper.
Mm.
And the coach at the time put his hand up and said, oh, yeah, that's mine. And the coach was a guy, that very basic guy, would never spend that much, didn't have that much money to spend on the car.
Who was the coach?
Well, can't say.
Oh.
Can't say. I don't want to name any names, all right? So they're all going, there's no way that's your car, right? So one of the players, who I won't name, said, if that's your car, I will eat my own, you know what?
No, Gregory.
I will eat
Greg,
my own.
Greg, you're making this one
this
up.
Is not. Right? This is,
so anyway,
this
they,
is made up.
They play the Shield game.
Oh.
They play the Shield game and they have a magnificent win.
Yeah.
And then, as it turns out, they find out at the end of the game that the coach has won second division lotto. A month or so earlier, and it's paid $200,000 or $300,000, and he's splashed out on a brand new Mercedes.
Wow.
So they've had this brilliant win at the SCG against the opposition, and they're about 8 or 9 beers in, and then someone remembers, said, listen, mate, you said, if that is his car, you will do the unthinkable.
Yeah, no, surely not, though.
So he's like, nah, fair play.
Oh,
fair play.
No, Greg, don't.
Fair play.
So the coach is back one out.
Not the coach, the player who said it.
Oh. Yeah, but he'll eat his own.
He'll eat his own. Oh, so the guy said, if that's your car, I will eat my own.
Yep.
Is this a South Australian former cricketer?
No, it's not South Australian. It's New South Wales.
And but
New South Wales, born and bred.
But he played for South Australia.
No.
Coached Redbacks.
No, he's a New South Welshman. All right, so they're all egging him on, you know, you said it. And he's like, he's had a skinful by this stage. So he's gone to the, got a little plate, gone to the toilet.
Shat on a plate.
And then he's come out.
Okay.
And someone's given him a knife and fork.
No.
And he said, I will do it, but am I allowed to add a little bit of tomato sauce?
No!
What does he think? It was a sausage and a piece of bread with sauce on it.
He laid it with tomato sauce and took a little slice and downed it.
Get out.
So he was a bit, have you heard of anything so ridiculous in your life?
Anything similar?
Like, we always think you footballers and knuckleheads, but that's got to take the
eating
cake, surely.
Literally.
So, yeah.
Well,
anyway.
Did he have a bit of bread with it? No. Right? Just sauce and turd.
Wait, he wasn't at Bunnings.
Well, what do you reckon?
He was back in the pavilion.
A bit of onion and, you know, at least would have been palatable.
I feel so
anyway,
sick
so
now.
I think. Do you feel a bit crook?
And I'm going to vomit.
You're going to be
dry.
Pasty.
Yeah, well, I am. It makes me
pasty.
That's
so
disgusting.
I tried to keep it as clean as I possibly could,
well,
but I needed to get that off
the
my
player's
chair.
Name.
No, I'll wait.
Well, come on. Give us initials.
No. Well, and apparently you needed a couple of Tic Tacs afterwards as well, Josh.
Jeez, you think.
Okay.
All right. There we go. Let's wind this up.
I heard it was.
No,
he's not New South Wales.
You can't say that.
I thought it was Redbacks play.
No,
New South Wales.
No.
Was it their CG? I don't like cricket. I did not have a spray
what
tan.
What do you mean?
Bullshit. I love it. I know it's beer with Bluey, but can you just warn us to have a few more beers before you tell another story like that?
We've
completely lost Jars. He walked out, went to the toilet. What did you do out there?
No,
did you went to the toilet.
No,
did you throw?
Because you know I'm coming off a severe illness, and that didn't help.
Severe. It's not, you thought it was severe, but the doctor didn't agree with you.
It's not a pleasant story, but I just had to get it off my chest.
I feel like I'd get on well with this bloke for some reason. There's some part of me I want to meet him. And
well, full credit, he said he...
Yeah, well, he's a man of his word.
Immediate VIP at the Stansbury.
Can we change lanes about...
Yep.
Is well, Justin Langer, has he lost the Australian cricket place?
He's in the proverbial as well. He's got a year left on
his
contract. And it's been lingering for a while. There's been a little bit of tension between Justin Langer and the players.
Why?
Because he's a hard ass, basically. Pretty much an old-fashioned coach.
Yeah, but nothing wrong with that.
And they've had what they normally do at a football club.
Yep.
And they've same thing with the Australian cricket team, have an end-of-season review.
Mm.
And the Sydney Morning Herald have run with a story that Langer was given strong and straightforward feedback about his coaching style.
Yeah.
And his response to it across the rest of the year, and remembering it's an Ashes summer as well, will decide whether or not he's handed a new contract. So there were 40 players and support staff involved. And apparently team manager Gavin Dovey didn't get missed by the players either.
Same thing.
Justin Langer and Gavin Dovey are really tight.
Okay.
Gavin Dovey is unbelievable at his job. One of the best operators I've seen. But he's a bit of a hard ass as well. And Ben Oliver, who's the national team boss, so he took over from Paddy Howard.
Yeah.
He's come from WA as well. So I think reading between the lines, the players feel like that's the leadership right there.
Yeah.
They haven't really got anywhere to go to sort of express some of their feelings.
Yeah, okay.
So I think the players just want a little bit more control back of the change room in terms of like the standards that are to be met. Because I think Justin Langer has come in and said, right, this is what we're doing after South Africa.
Yeah, yeah.
This is what behaviour is acceptable and is not acceptable. And the players haven't had a lot of feedback in that. And apparently his mood swings, you know, he is very, very invested in the team. And I think he takes a lot of things to heart.
Well, we saw a bit of that on the documentary. Because he was very much, this is how we're doing it. This, and he was open to a little bit of feedback, but you could see he was resenting it a little bit with Usman.
Yep.
I think it was Khawaja. They butted heads a little bit, but it was him that was continually, he was the spokesperson for the group a little bit because no one else was, everyone was a bit scared or treading on eggshells around giving Justin Langer feedback. And then he was the one to say it. Now I feel like he pigeonholed Khawaja a little bit, and he hadn't been in the test team since either.
Yeah, well, I reckon we spoke about this about 6 or 8 months ago, maybe after that doco came out, and I said that Justin Langer and any other coach has got to evolve with the squad as well. So he's into his fourth year, and I think, Jarge, you can come in and be that hard ass straight away.
They probably needed it to start with.
No, they did. That's exactly why they went
but
with Justin
But he hasn't evolved.
Langer. Well, I don't know. I don't know. But that's
the
report.
Of that, he
well, that's the feedback from the players, directly from the players.
All right. So say if he gets, and I reckon JL or Justin Langer, he'll warp before he gets pushed because he's got a lot of pride, as you know, or he'll wait to get tapped.
Just
now,
knowing
he
might Justin,
be if they tap him,
stubborn
who replaces him?
Well,
who,
I reckon
who's
the
next
favorite,
in line?
Yeah, I reckon the favourite would be Andrew McDonald.
I've heard about Andrew.
Why did you wink at me when he asked that question?
I did.
And point at yourself.
Ha ha ha!
What are you going to take them to bottom and winless as well?
He did too.
No.
It is the hang on, we've got a text.
Yeah.
What is it?
0488 51047.
What's happened?
Mika from the Stansbury Pub.
Mika from the Stansbury Pub, yes.
Yeah, beautiful. He wants to meet the player that Blue was talking about on Beer with Blue.
Yes.
He says they don't put sauce on their turds in the York Peninsula, but Shazza does make a good plum chutney. So. A lot of people ask us, especially ask me, do you guys actually get along? Of course you do. A lot of people think that you crack. Actually, a lot of people think we are not fans of a very good friend of ours, Jars, Ken KG Cunningham.
Oh, we love KG.
And he loves us as well.
Yeah, he's a great man.
Now, I know we take the mick out of him every now and then on the voicemail, but he does, you can confirm this, he hears it and he loves it.
He loves Triple M, he misses Triple M, and we love him, and he's been great for us.
Yep.
And I do miss him. I speak to him probably twice a week just to check in. 82 years old he is at the minute, Kate, the great man, KG.
He's got years left, mate.
Would he come on?
Absolutely. He'd love it. He'd love it. But we've had some funny moments with him, mate.
We would, like the time we tracked him down with a documentary crew in Henley Beach.
Henley Beach is a host to a cacophony of colour and sound. One elusive parrot is the amalgamation of both. The King Grandpa, or KG as it's known to locals, has inhabited this area for nearly a century and is distinguished by its uncanny bird songs, as we see here. Often seen at sporting grounds, this bird will do anything for a chip or access to any given member's area. Apart from Port Adelaide fans, the KG has no known predators inside the border of South Australia. While he is known for his early rising, the KG is not usually back in his nest on weekends until well after the sun has gone down.
See?
We love it. That cost us heaps of money just to track the great man. There was a bit of stuff left on the cutting room floor, though, which I don't think we can... You know about that. Well, you know about this, Ben. I was showing you.
KG, I've heard, and this is just rumour or, you know, pub chat that I've heard. It's a rare, rare species. And
it is.
Well, they don't come into season too often. I've heard it's once every 4 years, and this is something you need to see. Once every 4 years. Yeah. That's every leap year, Jazz.
It is, Ben.
It's not often.
No.
This is his mating call.
Well,
approach Henley with caution.
Love him.
We love you, KG.
We do.
You can get a hold of whenever you like on the text. Ask him a question. 0488 51047. Kenny and McGill wants to know, apart from contract negotiations, what is it a sports manager actually does? Because I hear they get paid. To do what?
Well, Bern, you can talk on this because back in our day, we were still full-time doing a job and then playing part-time AFL footy.
Yeah.
So we didn't really need a manager back in the day.
They obviously do all your contract stuff, which Kenny's already mentioned, but that's something you don't want to be doing when you're playing.
Well, players went full-time about 98, 99.
I think it was, late 90s.
Yeah.
And certainly by 2000, that was, there was no jobs. Yeah. It was just full-time. But they do all your outside stuff. So any... Mm. I had, when I was playing, contracts with Channel 9, did the footy show a bit, but I did a weekly thing when I was at Adelaide with Channel 9, with Fox as well. So all your outside stuff and the big, like, say, a Buddy Franklin, he's on different ads and stuff, Dustin Martin with Bonds, all that sort of stuff is in the background what your manager does. But obviously the bigger your player and bigger your personality, the more money or more opportunities you get. But I think you pay... Used to pay the manager about 3% of your contract, and any media stuff they'd take, I think it was 20%. But that's a small small amount compared to what you'd earn playing footy.
Yeah, I think their real value is all the stuff that they bring outside of your playing contract. So, I never gave anything to my manager for my bat sponsorship, my Cricket Australia contract, my South Australian contract.
So I don't take a cut of any of that.
Well, I just negotiated it when
just to
Everything else, then top dollar, 20%.
So everything's pretty set with footy. Most players will pay 3% of their contract, what they earn.
Everything's negotiable, Bern.
Yeah, well, it is. But you don't want to be that bloke, do you? What? Like you were?
Well, well, my full-time manager takes 90%.
Yeah,
who's that? Maz.
Maz.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for Bernie Fitz's super exciting, ultra mega important, interesting, bizarre final fact. Let's go.
That a goodie.
May 27, boys.
Yes, it is.
A couple of interesting, I'm not sure where this goes, but this is the, I've got the national days, right? National Grape Popsicle Day today.
Grape popsicle.
You know what a popsicle is?
Like a Zupa Dupa.
Yeah, it's like an ice cream that you, but you make them yourself.
Who makes a day like that?
Who does? Who, what is what, that? Who's running this thing?
It's a day for everything.
Jeez. And also today, the same day, National Cellophane Tape Day. Jazz. Oh.
Buzz off.
Buzz off. Come here, Jazz.
What do you mean, buzz off? Little, what's that? There?
A little bit of cellophane.
There you go. Wrap it around his mouth so he can't talk.
I'll still be able to talk.
Put it around his mouth.
All right, what else is a national day?
On this day, 1933.
Good work, Hayden.
Walt Disney's cartoon, The Three Little Pigs, aired, Jazz.
Love that story.
That was released. Yeah. Three Little Pigs,
used
what happened?
Used to tell the kiddies. Well, I used to tell the little wee little piggy.
Yeah, but you said you loved the story.
Went to
what
the
happens?
Market and wee
no,
little
that's,
piggy.
No, that's this little piggy, not the three little pigs. Three little pigs are the ones that built a house out of sticks.
It's the wolf.
Yeah.
Oh, he huffed and puffed. And he huffed and puffed.
Oh, you love the story. Now you had to be reminded what the story
I wish there was a tough piggy because he would have got hold of the wolf.
We could be the three little piggies, can we?
Yeah.
You could be the big
boy. He could be
boy.
The big pig.
Well, I'm the big.
You could be the
You can be the female
pig. You're the sow. You're the sow. I'm the one that gets out of the
Who
top.
Who am I? Am I the big nasty one with the big fangs?
You're the big fat one that lays in the mud. Doesn't move. Right next to the drink fountain.
Yeah.
Doesn't move even for a drink.
Yeah, I'd squash you two little piglets.
Yeah, you wouldn't catch us.
All right.
Hey, 1937.
Yes.
The Golden Gate Bridge was open. Now, Jars, where's the Golden
San
Gate Bridge?
San Francisco.
And what does it link up to?
To the city and to the, what's it called again, where Clint Eastwood lives.
No.
He lives in San Francisco. Oh, to he the Alcatraz.
No.
Because if Alcatraz had a way of getting to it via road, then it wouldn't be.
I went to San Francisco.
Cross the bridge to get out.
A little bit easier. Instead of dying when they tried to swim in, they would have just got the bridge.
Back in 87 when I went to San Francisco for the Australian tour, that's when a lot of the younger generation, the younger males, were walking around the streets with, you know, tight shorts.
You know what he wanted to say then? He just wanted to say he played for Australia.
What about the hand?
No, he wanted to say he played for Australia. the rest was like,
and
now what do I say?
They were happy and they were free and I got exposed to
well,
that.
Well, it links it up to the Marin County, it's called.
That's right. That's where Clint Eastwood was the mayor.
And he resides at Pebble Beach on the golf course down at the Monterey Peninsula down there.
I like that.
He's a golfer too, wouldn't he?
A couple of birthdays today, a famous one. Jamie Oliver, 1975.
He's a good boy.
How old is he, Jazz?
He's famous, is he?
Well, yes. Well, mate. You knew who he was.
He's just a chef.
He's a chef.
He changed UK school dinners for the better.
All his restaurants are gone broke.
Oh, have they?
Yeah, they have. But he seems to he's got a bit of a lift.
Yeah, like you yesterday. Wednesday, the 5th.
No, I said. I said May the 25th.
Hey, couple of big names in the AFL industry birthdays. Toby Bedford today, Blue.
Betters.
Give me a team and a position for him, please.
Oh, no Go idea, on. Betters.
You had no idea. You got mate. He plays for Carlton.
Negative. He's a current player. Plays.
Righto. Big name.
So,
how many Brownlow votes did he get last year?
Oh, not many.
Right. That's.
Well, you're not even going to have a guess at a team. Or...
Oh, okay. Well, I'll go.
No
Saint
one cares.
Kilda.
I got this man to the Melbourne Footy Club. He came through my academy when I was coaching.
All comes
the academy.
Back to you, right?
Yeah. So
didn't
happy
play
birthday
last weekend?
To Toby Bedford. Right. No, he didn't play last week.
Well, there you go.
Oh, so only no players that played last week.
He had a big impact on him then. If he's not playing,
this other
like
big name, Tanner Broon.
Bruni? What's his first name?
Tanner.
Yeah. Montana.
Giants. Good guess, Blue. Yes, he does play for them. And I'll leave you with a fact just before you head off, Jazz. It's good that you've unplugged yourself because I don't really want you. Is he still plugged in? He's unplugged.
No, he's unplugged. He can't hear anything.
He's gone.
Oh, he can't hear me, but I want it the other way around. I don't want him to be able to contact me.
There we go.
I want the I'll call you, not you call me.
You've got to do the promo.
Buddy,
I just got back in, yeah?
Do you know, and this is a fact you'll never, ever forget again.
Yes, Ben.
65% of autistic kids are left-handed.
Wow.
You know what? Compared to the rest of the population is only 10%. That's 1 in 10, Jazz.
That's a great fact.
That is a good
fact. That's a great
fact. Isn't it? I found that one last night and I thought I'd let you know. 65%. So how many is that out of 10, Jazz?
Well, it's 30. No, I wasn't listening. Sorry.
It's his segment. Burns
he's storming out.
I was thinking of a
wasn't listening.
I was doing it. I was coming up with a training drill tonight.
Don't have a beer. You're an idiot.
See you.
See you,
see you next week. I'll see you Saturday, Greg.
Yeah, see you, mate.